welcome to Meandering Design. I'm really excited to be talking about today's topic, my new class called Life Redesigned, which you can find at meanderingdesign.com. This class has come about from lectures I've given through teaching Interior Design 101, the work that I've done with clients, and my own personal experience. I'll be teaching tips and tricks to wrangle life's chaos, create a space that represents the life you want to live, and also touching on how to make that space beautiful, because that's equally as important. I've struggled with depression since I was about 13 years old. It's been a constant part of my life, and besides therapy and medication, I've had to develop systems that help me get through life and keep depression at bay. It's kind of like the story of the chicken or the egg for me. What comes first, the depression or the clutter? I definitely notice that when the house gets cluttered, my ability to cope and keep on top of day-to-day life significantly decreases. Yet if I do a few simple things each day to keep on top of the clutter, I find it's a lot easier to combat the depression. Even if you don't suffer from depression or anxiety, you may find something similar happening. It's sometimes easier to ignore the clutter, ignore the chaos, and choose to watch TV instead. And when we do that, we don't engage in the activities that make us happy and that drive our life forward. Also, I have experience with my own clutter and also living with people who find it challenging to keep on top of day-to-day life and find things. So I lived with someone who could never find their car keys or their wallet. And every time he left the house, it would take 5 to 10 minutes for him to find his keys. And think about it. If it takes you 5 to 10 minutes to get out the door each morning, then that is 2 days of your life that you are spending each year looking for keys. There is definitely an easier way to do it. For myself, I've set up what's called a landing zone, and I don't have an entryway or hallway or closet in the front door of my apartment. It literally, for me, is a small part of the wall where I have put up a place to hang my keys. They go there every day when I walk in, plop, there goes the keys, and I have a small stool on the floor below the keys to hold my purse or my bag. So every day in or out of the house, that is exactly where everything is. It's easy to find, and it's relatively discreet, especially since, like I said, I don't even have the luxury of having a hallway. So if any of the statements that I read are true, then please recognize that you are not alone, and Life Redesigned was built for you. So if you can't close your drunk drawer, sorry, you're not your drunk drawer, your junk drawer, if you keep reaching for the same 5 things that are hanging in your closet and the rest of your clothes are gathering dust, if you've experienced loss or grief and you've had a hard time letting go of things, you misplace your keys at least once a week, if there's a pile of mail on the dining room table, if you're ashamed to have people over, if you're afraid the dust bunnies will start attacking soon, your home makes you feel anxious, your house looks clean on the surface, but if anyone opens the closet, the gig is up, if you think that if you get a storage system, everything will get better. So I've worked with quite a few people who have had me come into their home because they want to find functioning storage systems. But when I start talking to them about the things that they have and how they're using them, what comes about is the fact that these are things they're no longer using in their life, and they're looking to spend money to find a storage system for things they are no longer using. And that's why I think a course like this is important, because we are spending so much of our time and effort and money on things and managing things. The other thing I've encountered personally and also with clients is it's hard to let things go, especially if they have sentimental meaning. But I'd also challenge you to think that if the item in question is causing you anxiety or taking too much space in your life physically and emotionally, then you need to get rid of it. I struggled a few years ago when my grandfather died because he had collected so many things. And, you know, he'd grown up poor working on a farm in Wisconsin, and I really felt he was trying to recreate the farm of his youth. And so it was really hard when he passed away to let those things go because they had so much meaning for him. Instead of trying to take everything, I chose the things that reminded me of happy memories. So for example, I kept the old Sears camera that he always carried on vacation and let me use. I remember as a kid, the camera was really heavy, but it was really fun to play with. I kept a few of the radios from his collection because they were something that gave him so much joy. I also made sure to keep the radio that he used to have in the garage playing, and sometimes you'd catch him unaware singing along. I didn't keep everything. If I did, I'd be buried because he had wagon wheels, cars, boats, Coke machines, old fire extinguishers, the list goes on. He even had a windmill. So imagine if I tried to keep a windmill. I also have to say it's okay if you bought something and you don't like it anymore. You can get rid of it. You can see if a friend would like it. You can donate it. Sometimes I set things, you know, living in Chicago, we have these great things called alleys. Sometimes I'll set things out in the alley because I know there's a few people that come through the alleys and pick up old junk. So I leave it out there right on top, clean and easy for them to pick up. If it's not serving you and it does not make you happy, then let it go. A really great rule of thumb that I heard from the minimalists, and I'll put a link to their website in the show notes, was if you were debating getting rid of something because you may need to use it again, and it costs less than $20, then get rid of it. I have a bad habit of keeping things just in case, and honestly, I haven't had a moment yet where I regretted throwing or giving something away. I do have to point out that many of us have friends or partners who we would like to help, but it needs to be their journey. If you think that my class would be helpful for someone, then by all means, please share it. If you take my class and you try to do the things I suggest to someone else's stuff, it's not going to work and it can be harmful. People who tend to collect things or who, you know, have sort of an excess of clutter. I'm not saying that all people who collect things, but when it starts to kind of get out of control, there's usually an emotional response behind that. And if you come in and you start throwing their things away or giving them away, it's not going to help that underlying emotional problem. So just be aware that I know sometimes people really want to get rid of the stuff because it's encroaching on their space as well, but it's really something that each individual person has to figure out for themselves. So the other reason I'm teaching this class is because I want people to be able to create space. So what do you want to do with your life? Which I know is a very broad question, and, you know, I still haven't figured out what I want to be when I grow up, but it's an important thing to think about. Personally, I'm working hard on my business, and so I need a dedicated space to run that business. A year ago, my spare bedroom was an ugly, bland box where I just dumped things, closed the door, and ran. It didn't suit the needs of my life. So the first thing to do was to clear out everything that I didn't need, or as Marie Kondo says in her book, that doesn't spark joy, and I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And honestly, that was most of everything that was in the room. The only things that stayed were a desk that my grandfather had pulled out of a building on LaSalle in the 60s. They were tearing it down. A set of vintage lockers, my art, and some books. I got rid of a lot of books, and as an English major, that was really hard to do, but it was necessary. Then once I had the functional space set up, I decorated it. It was a really dark room. It didn't get much daylight, and so I embraced the darkness, and I painted it a super dark gray with some copper pink paint at the top of the walls. I bought a chaise lounge secondhand, so I have a space to daydream and read, and voila, it's a space that I now want to spend time in, and I'm getting work done. The other bonus is that now that I spend time in the room, it no longer gets overrun with clutter. Think about what you want to be doing. If it's spending more time with your family, then maybe it would be a good idea to clear off the dining room table and sit at it. If you want to be a letterpress printer, then maybe get rid of the dining room table, and that's where your printing press goes. If you want to be a writer, then carve out a spot that belongs to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big space, but it's yours, and you sit your butt in that chair and you write. Our passions and desires have been taken over by clutter, so it's time to reclaim our home. I think that clutter is another symptom for our need for stuff. You're not alone in this, because I've had moments when buying a new pair of shoes is a nice pick-me-up, except when they languish in your closet unworn and gather dust, they're actually not doing you much good. I've been trying to examine the feeling I have when I want to buy something that I don't need. Oftentimes, there's some underlying anxiety, and I need to figure out what it is, what's actually going on before reaching for my credit card. Also, instead of shopping big box stores, I try to shop local or vintage. The other day, I bought this beautiful handmade pot with plants in it from Alapash, which is down the street from my house. Just going to that store was a pick-me-up and a treat for my senses. Which ties into my last point. Making it beautiful is important. Your home should be a place that makes you happy. When I first moved into my apartment, the walls were beige, and not just builder's beige. They had this weird yellow undertone. Finally, I painted them, a very pale, almost white gray. And I probably should add, you know, make sure you check with your landlord first if you rent. Oftentimes, leases will say, don't paint. But if you talk to your landlord and you're not picking a color that's crazy, chances are you can go ahead and paint. After I painted, it was like the room breathed a sigh of relief. Those walls had pissed me off for years because the color made me feel like crap. Things like color, art, texture, and plants can have a big impact on how we feel. So we definitely need to take them into consideration when we are designing. My desire is to give you a roadmap and the support you need to clear out clutter and help you return to what is important to what you want to do with your life. I want to help you create a space that functions for your personal needs or the needs of your family. So if you're ready to start, classes will begin in the new year, so sign up today. For those of you who are not in Chicago, I am developing an online course. Sign up for my newsletter to find out when that launches, and you can find the newsletter and the class link over at meanderingdesign.com. I'll be delving into more detail about some of the topics I touched on today. I know it was a pretty broad overview. So subscribe to the podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, then please leave a review in iTunes and share it with a friend. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.